Our scripture reading this morning will come from Romans chapter 9. Begin with verse 30 and we'll read through verse 4 of chapter 10. That's found on page 946 of your pew Bibles. Romans chapter 9, beginning with verse 30 through the fourth verse of chapter 10. Hear now the word of our Lord. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it? That is, a righteousness that is by faith? But that Israel who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching that law? Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Thus we've read verse 30 of chapter 9 through verse 4 of chapter 10. Let us go to the Lord now in prayer. Merciful Father in heaven, we thank You for Your holy word. We ask that You would help us meditate on it and hide it in our hearts day and night. Lord, we thank You for this, acknowledging that it does come from You. And now, Lord, we ask that You would be with the proclamation of Your Word, that it would glorify Your holy name and magnify Your name throughout all the earth and edify Your people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Paul now is pulling together what has come before. And he's summarizing it by saying, well, what shall we say to this? What shall we say? That the Gentiles who didn't have the law ended up becoming right with God, even though they didn't look for it and they didn't know anything about Him. But the Jews who knew the one true God and had the law ultimately failed and are not right with God? And the answer there is yes. That's exactly what he's been saying. And then the question comes, why? Explain this again. How did this happen? That the Gentiles could attain righteousness while the Jews would not. Because the Gentiles didn't pursue righteousness. And the Jews did. Paul's setting here the Jew and the Gentile against each other, which would have been the starkest of contrasts to the people in the first century, especially to a first century Jew. There was nothing more different than the Jew and the Gentile. The clean and the unclean. The Jew would have considered the Gentile a dirty dog. A heathen. They didn't even go into the houses of the Gentiles. They didn't even like going into the same buildings where they were. That's how unclean and unrighteous a Gentile was in the eyes of the Jews. But here Paul is saying they achieved righteousness and the Jews did not. The Gentiles who knew nothing of the one true God were the sinners and idolaters. They're the ones who end up in a right standing before the Lord. Now it should be noted here that Paul's not saying all Gentiles are right before God. He's talking about those Gentiles who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not every Gentile in the whole world, but he's saying the Gentiles who have now believed in Jesus, they lived their life, they had their pagans, and they didn't follow the ceremonies of the law, and they were doing all of these things. They didn't even know about the one true God until someone came and preached and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then they believed. And now they're right with the Lord. How did this happen? Why? And the answer is, because they have the righteousness by faith. In verse 30. They've attained a righteousness that is a righteousness that's by faith. It's not by works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. That the Gentiles who didn't follow the law, they didn't follow the ceremonial law, they didn't offer sacrifices, they didn't avoid any meats. They didn't even know that stuff existed. And they often broke the moral law. They were pagans who worshipped the false gods. They had a whole pantheon of gods. They didn't honor the Sabbath they coveted. Yet when they heard the message of Jesus Christ, they found righteousness because they believed. Which, you'll note, is exactly what Paul says happens to Abraham in chapter 4. How did Abraham get right with God? It was credited to him as righteousness because he believed. Paul wants us to see that the Gentiles found righteousness the same way that Abraham did, by faith. They heard the message and they believed, and it was counted to them as righteousness. Just as it was with Abraham, so it is with the Gentiles. The Jews, however, tried to do it a different way. And again here, he doesn't mean every single Jew in the world, because there were many Jews who believed in Jesus Christ, Paul himself being one. The disciples like Peter and John and Philip and Thomas and all the others who were Jews who believed in Jesus Christ, he's not talking about them. He's talking about the majority of Jews who've rejected Jesus. They tried to pursue righteousness a different way. They tried to attain a right standing with God by works. Verse 3 of chapter 10, they were seeking to establish their own righteousness. Or verse 32 of chapter 9, they didn't pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. The Jews, who had been given all of the benefits, they had the revelations from God, they were given the prophets, they were able to know the one true God, or at least given every opportunity to know Him. They failed to attain righteousness. They had the law that told them what righteousness was and where to find it, but they failed to attain it because they misunderstood. They misunderstood the law. And notice that it's not the law's fault. Verse 31, that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, didn't succeed in reaching it. It's not the law's fault that they failed. The law does show the righteousness of God. It does point out all that you need. But they misunderstood it. The law shows our sin, as Paul discussed earlier in the book of Romans. And in showing us our sin, it shows us the need for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Jews missed the point. They took the law and misused it, and they pursued it. And they pursued righteousness by their own works. They thought the law was saying, if you can do this and you can do this, then you're good enough. If you can get close to this, you're going to be fine. And that's not what the law says at all. The law says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Jews pursued the law as if they said, you can do this and be the glory of God. And they were wrong. They thought it meant my works make me righteous, when really the law was saying you have no righteousness. You need another. And that's their great mistake. For our righteousness is never good enough. It will always fall short. And the law shows us this. It plainly shows us. Think back in chapter 3 of Romans, where Paul quotes all those Old Testament verses where he says, there's no one good. No, not one. No one seeks after righteousness. That our mouths are open graves, open sepulchres that spew forth death. That there's poison on our lips. All of those things, quotes from the Old Testament, designed to show you that you're not good enough. And that you don't have righteousness in your own works. If we're honest, we know that we don't keep the Ten Commandments. Who among us, when they're really honest and looking at ourselves, say, I've loved the Lord the God with all my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength. I've done that. I've loved my neighbor as myself. I've done that. We sometimes try to fool ourselves into thinking we've done it. But eventually the law always pokes a hole in it. Think about the rich young ruler with Jesus. I've done all those commandments since my youth. I've done that. And then Jesus says, well, then go sell your money and feed the poor. And then he realizes, no, he's coveted, and he's coveting right now. He's not going to do it. We can't say we've kept the Ten Commandments. No one can. Because the law was meant to point to us, points out to us a righteousness by faith. The Jews pursued righteousness as if the law was saying if you behave just good enough, then eternal life could be yours. In reality, it was saying something else. They were supposed to come to God in faith. Faith that He would provide the Lamb. The Lamb whose blood would cover the law. Who would cover their sins. That it would be God who would make them righteous. Not their own works. That's why they were constantly sacrificing to remind themselves, my work deserves this, death. And that there will come another whose death will save me. That's what they should have seen. But they didn't come to the law in faith, and thus they failed to achieve righteousness. Because they misunderstood the source of righteousness. Righteousness does not come from ourselves. It doesn't come from our own behavior. It comes from God. And from Him providing and taking care of our sin with His might and His power. He sends the Passover lamb. He's the one who's kept the law in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, not us. The law points not to our work, but to Jesus Christ the righteous, who we're told in verse 4 of chapter 10, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The law points to Jesus. Shows you believe in Jesus. He's the goal. Faith should always point away from ourselves and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Always. When we rightly use the law, it points us to Jesus. It shows us our sin and tells us turn to Jesus in faith. He's the end of the law. He's the goal of the law. He's the telos of the law. The law has a purpose. And it's to show our sin and to show people the source of righteousness is found elsewhere. From ourselves and in Jesus Christ. That's the stumbling stone. That's what people trip over. The quote here, as Paul always is doing, quoting from the Old Testament to prove his point, Isaiah 28 verse 16. Behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. This is what he says the Jews tripped on. It makes people trip and fall and fail because it offends. It's Jesus Christ who's the rock of offense. And what is that fence? That you have to believe on another for salvation. That your righteousness is not good enough. You need Jesus. That's the offense of the cross. What do your sins deserve? What are your works? When you pile up all your good works, what does it deserve? The cross, death, damnation, wrath. That's
that's the offense. That we have turned in our works and we've gotten the report card back and it says F, you failed. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, F. With all your mind, F. With all your soul, F. With all your strength, F. Neighbors, yourself, F. You failed. And it's a rock of offense and it makes people stumble and fall when we hear it. Our natural desires is to say, well, no, wait, that's not fair. I did pretty good. That's not right. That grade's wrong. You can't save yourself. You're not good enough. You're not righteous enough. You need Jesus. A true submitting to the law then is to submit not to my own works, but to submit to the fact that righteousness must come from God. This is what the ceremonies of the law were constantly pointing out and teaching. The rules of the law taught us that we were sinners and had no righteousness and it didn't measure up. And so the law also had all of these ceremonies and sacrifices and celebrations all designed to show us that God would provide. That God would provide for our righteousness, that He would bring a lamb to die, that He would put blood over the law, that it would be satisfied, that He would be the priest who once and for all put an end to an offering for sin, that He would be the one who cleansed you from all unrighteousness and all of your uncleanness, that the flesh was of no value in pursuit of God's righteousness, but that God would provide the refuge and the lamb and the blood, the priest and the salvation. All of it would come from Him. God's the one who gives righteousness. And we're called to live to Christ, to submit to Him. And in submitting includes that understanding that we ourselves are not righteous. And as it says, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. You and I will not be put to shame if we believe in Jesus Christ. We will not be disappointed in Jesus. That He will stand and He will return and He will judge. He will keep His word and all of His promises. The idea of not being put to shame here means that we won't be ashamed of Him in the final days. That when we come with our report cards of F's, that it won't be a shame anymore because the Lord will wipe away our sins, wipe away our failures, and receive us to Himself. Not holding the guilt and shame of our failure against us. And then believing in Jesus, then we will have the righteousness of Christ. Our belief in Him will not be shown to be false. It will not be a failure. Our belief will not fail. It will not bring shame to us and will give us no reason to be ashamed. But rather in Christ, we will find that righteousness promised by God. And so in these verses here, Paul is showing us, he is showing us the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is reminding us that all of the Old Testament saints knew that righteousness came from Jesus. Salvation in the Old Testament wasn't by works and in the New Testament by grace in Jesus. That's not the case. He's equating the way that Abraham believed and the way the Gentiles believed so that you'll understand all who have been saved have always believed in Jesus Christ. How did they find the righteousness with God? They heard the message and believed. Just like the Gentiles, just like you, just like me, just like Abraham, just like David, just like Adam, and all the others. The ones in the Old Testament may have looked forward. They may not have known the name of Jesus. They didn't know when He was going to come. But they knew there would be a seed that would be provided. They knew there would be a lamb that would be provided. They knew there would be a descendant from David that would be provided. And they looked forward and they trusted by faith and they believed and it was counted to them as righteousness. And thus, when we read the Scriptures, we should be looking for Jesus. First and foremost, that's what we should see in God's Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because sometimes we make a similar mistake to the Jews. We pick up the Bible and we say, what should I do now? Tell me what to do. What's in this for me? We treat the Bible like it's a tool to get the job done, instead of a revelation of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the Bible definitely teaches us how to live. Yes, it shows us a life of thankfulness. But the end of the law, the end of the Word is Jesus Christ. He is the Word. You can't skip straight to the gospel imperatives. You need to have the gospel indicatives. Jesus died for you. Jesus is the Son of God. You'll find the blessing of God in seeing Jesus in the Word rather than looking for the rules, rather than looking for the regulations. When Jesus was walking with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus and He gave them that great Bible study, He didn't show them, this is how you should live or these are the things you need to do next. He showed them how every page pointed to Him. The Scriptures speak of Jesus Christ. And we should read the Word in the same manner. We need to realize that our shame will be removed. That whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. And that's important for us to remember, because there's a time on earth, even right now, when people make us feel stupid for believing in Jesus Christ. They mock us and ridicule us, and they exclude us from things. We're told we're fools and that the world wants us to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. It wants to shame us for believing in Him and following after Him. But that will all be gone in the end. On that last day, on that final judgment that we confess we believe is coming, the Lord Jesus Christ will take us to Himself, and there will be no shame for us. The shame and stigma of being a Christian will be taken away. Because Jesus wins, and in the end it will be the world who's put to shame and not us. And of course we need to see that salvation is not by our works, but by faith alone. That we are right with God and have His righteousness because of faith. And I really can't say it better than Heidelberg Catechism question 60, which is, how are you righteous before God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. That is, although my conscience accuses me that I have grievously sinned against all the commandments of God and never kept any of them, and I'm still prone always to all evil. Can you see what Paul's saying here about submitting? Understanding? The law has shown you your sin and that you're not righteous. Here's the stone of stumbling. Are you willing to admit that I've grievously sinned against all the commandments, that I'm prone to all evil, that I've never kept any of them? If we can admit that, then we have the beautiful, yet God, without any merit of mine, of mere grace, grants and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. As if I've never committed nor had any sins, and had myself accomplished all the obedience which Christ fulfilled for me, if only I accept such benefit with a believing heart. There it is. Just like Adam, or just like Abraham. Do you believe? Do you believe that you've grievously sinned against all the commandments? That you're a sinner in the sight of God? That you have no righteousness? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came for you? Died on a cross for your sins? Then you have found that righteousness of God. It's found only in Christ by faith. Let's go to Him now in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank You. We thank You and praise You for Your wondrous gift of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous. We thank You for Him for taking away our shame, for changing our heart of stone and giving us this heart full of faith. We thank You for the righteousness that comes from God. We confess we are dependent upon it. So may Your name be magnified and help us live a life that glorifies our Savior, the Lord Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.